Joining us here from Chappahoocawk Harbor City Schools, talking about the teacher salary issue, which has been very much in the news in the last few months and very much on the minds of teachers and educators and administrators, both in this district and across the state for a lot longer than that. We're joined to talk about it by the coordinator of teacher recruitment and support at the Chappahoocawk Harbor City School District, Mary Gunderson. Good to be with you today.
Thank you for allowing us to be here.
And a teacher at Carrboro High School, Christoph Stutz, no relation to Ron, by the way.
Yeah, we should probably address
at the very beginning.
I did meet Ron just now, but we believe we may be distantly related.
Yeah, back in the old country,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. I get asked all around town whether I'm related to him, but I don't believe we are.
But we're talking about teacher salaries today, and if we could get started, there's a lot of issues to discuss, so we'll be spending the next half hour or so talking about it. But Mary, I want to start with you. You're the coordinator of teacher recruitment and support, so if you could talk about what exactly that entails on a day-to-day basis. What does your job entail?
Sure. Well, my primary responsibility is for employment of teachers for the district. So we have about 12,000 students. We have 11 elementary schools, 4 middle schools, and 4 high schools, plus 1 hospital school. And I am responsible for teacher employment from the HR standpoint for all of those schools. So we hire about 200 teachers a year. We're always excited by the quality of candidates that we have, but in the current climate, it's becoming more and more difficult to recruit the best and retain the best. So that's certainly our topic today, recruitment and retention.
And certainly retention is a big issue there. Are you involved in retention as well as recruitment?
Absolutely.
And Christoph, turning to you, you're a teacher at Carrboro High School. What do you teach? What's your role at Carrboro High?
I teach social studies. Right now, I teach a standard U.S. history class and an AP comparative government class. And I've also been an assistant football coach at the school for the last 9 years. So go Jaguars. also served on various other committees and other leadership roles within the school. Any teacher, if you ask any teacher, they have to wear between 5 and 10 hats. So I don't have time to go through all of those.
But, yeah.
So I'm a teacher first, but other roles of the school as
other
well.
Other roles as well. And you mentioned 5 or 10 hats that teachers have to wear. And I imagine 4 to 9 of those hats just generally don't get talked about or thought about. They're all sort of flying under the radar that most people don't realize.
Or, as we can talk about, substantially paid for in any meaningful sense.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to recognize, in terms of framing this discussion, that, I can talk about the challenges that teachers face in terms of teacher pay. And the way that education has been changing in North Carolina in public education, it's important to note that as I talk about teacher pay, the focus is on how it impacts students.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important for me to say and speak for other teachers I know at my school and in the district and around the state that when we talk about what we are concerned about in our level of pay, on the one hand, we're concerned about having a wage that can sustain us professionally. We have families, too. We have kids. Teachers around the state need to be able to do their job well and live comfortably. But ultimately, we're concerned about the way that these policies impact students and our ability for the school to meet their needs as well.
So let's start by talking about the plan that's currently out there that Governor McCrory announced a little while ago to increase teacher salaries for teachers with up to 10 years experience, up to $35,000 by 2015 to 2016. That is definitely a start and an improvement over what exists right now. And again, the basic statistic that we're starting with, teachers in North Carolina, and this is a fairly recent development in the last 5-10 years or so, have really dropped in terms of teacher salaries relative to other teachers in the state. They're down to, is it 46th now in the state or 40 or 48th, one of the two? Yeah.
It's 48th.
Yeah. In the nation, right, out of 50 states. So the increase to $35,000 for teachers with up to 10 years experience, and the general reaction to that was that was a start, and then there needs to be more on top of that. So, Mary, I want to start with you. What is the reaction, and actually both of you, what is the reaction of teachers in the district right now to that salary plan?
Thank you so much for giving me a chance to speak to that. This is an area of great concern to me. I think it's important for the public to understand the way teacher salaries work in North Carolina. We need some background. And what happens with teacher salaries in North Carolina is that there is an experience credit schedule that gives teachers a certain salary from the state based on years of experience and level of preparation. So a bachelor's degree, zero experience, master's degree, 12 years experience, whatever. It's like reading a matrix to determine the salary. And then local districts add a local supplement on top of that. The main issue that we've had very grave concern about recently is that in the past 5 years, those beginning teachers, those persons with 1, 2, 3, or 5 years experience, have remained at the exact same pay level. And that pay level, just want to make it clear so the public knows this, is $30,800. Mm-hmm. So I like to use my man, woman on the street test. And here's what I do. I say to a person that may not know my role or my type of work, and I say to that person, let me ask you a question. Would it strike you as fair for a person with a bachelor's degree who's met national testing requirements to work in the same job for 5 consecutive years, even up to year 6, and make the exact same salary? And, of course, the answer that I get when I ask that to someone is, well, no, that seems absurd to me. Where is that happening? And when I tell them that's happening in the public schools of North Carolina, most people are aghast. They just simply don't know that beginning teachers are stuck at that same $30,800 for 5 consecutive years. Mm-hmm. Many of them are even losing take-home pay because the health insurance has gone up in the past 4 or 5 years. So many of them, despite the fact that they now have 5 years' experience, despite the fact that the job is incredibly demanding from year to year, that the task and the implications of requirements for teachers continue to go up, up, up. Despite that, for first through fifth year teachers, the salary has either remained stagnant or feels lower because of rising costs for health care. And this just strikes me as grossly unfair, and we're very, very worried about that. Now, what happens when you take a certain segment of the teaching pay group and bump those people up is that you're not impacting the whole group. So teachers in the middle, teachers at the upper end of the pay scale, they too have had very few raises and have remained without a step increase for several years. So those persons too have not had any salary increase. And if you bump up one group, you really need to bump up the whole group. Now, that said, I'm happy for anything that includes a teacher pay increase at any level, because wherever it is, we need it and we're happy about it. But I personally would like to see it across the board, and especially for those first through fifth year teachers who've been stuck at that 30,000 mark for so many years.
Christoph nodding his head throughout that entire discussion. Yeah. Agree with that?
Well, here's the thing. You know, when we started off this question, we had some, you know, are we ranked 46, 47, 48th? And one of the issues is that
we're in the bottom five.
The state has created a moving target as far as this is concerned, because they've created what I think should be a relatively simple solution in terms of raising teacher pay overall, and they've made it unnecessarily complicated. And having teachers pitted against each other, districts pitted against teachers to determine who should get a pay raise. And I think that there is an attempt to deprofessionalize the practice of teaching. I mean, if I can just tell a story about my own experience.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in the MAT program at Carolina 10 years ago and got a job over at Athens Drive High School over in Raleigh, and learned a lot about teaching through the program over there, but sort of came out of that program ready, feeling young, feeling energized, feeling like sort of I knew everything there was to know about teaching, right? And I joined this department with some older teachers in it, and I sort of, you know, had a little bit of ego, felt like, well, I'll kind of be the new bright shining star. And what I came to learn in the first month at that school was that teachers that have been doing it a long time were better at it than I was. And then you get better at it the more that you do it. I'm a better teacher than I was the first year I taught. I'm a better teacher than I was the last year, you know, a year ago. Mm-hmm. We as teachers, when we enter the profession, understand that our sort of social status, if we are to remain a teacher, professionally does not change. If I'm a teacher now in 20 to 25 years, and I'm a teacher, I'll always be that defined as teacher. But our pay should not stay in the exact same place and not reflect the fact that we've grown professionally, to me, I think is an outrage.
And that's certainly something that I know Tom Frisell of the district has been talking about and really focusing on, this notion of professional development and really encouraging teachers to get better and get better over a period of years, which implies that teachers are going to be there for a period of years. And certainly the issue of teacher retention, and back to you, Mary, on this one, has been in the news and certainly in your mind for a long time. But one of the things that has been sort of bandied about at the state level and in the state level discussion, I know, is, well, again, as you just said, Christoph, the idea that maybe teaching isn't a profession, a lifelong profession anymore, that we just sort of take it for granted that teachers will be in the profession for a certain number of years and then phase out into something else. But as you said, that's isn't necessarily conducive to a lifelong of professional development. Mayor, turning to you, take all of that and talk about all of that as it relates to teacher recruitment and teacher retention. What sort of problems are arising for you in terms of recruiting new teachers and retaining ones that are already here?
Right. Part of the recruitment issue has to do with salary, of course, especially recruits from out of state, when they can very easily look at other states that have a higher starting salary. A quick example of that is we've, in the past, done a lot of recruiting out of the state of Michigan because there were more candidates there than there were positions. There was traditionally a shortage of teaching positions in the state of Michigan, and traditionally a surplus of teaching positions in the Southeast. So we were able to get outstanding candidates who might want to move to the area. North Carolina's universities do not graduate enough students to fill all the teaching vacancies there are in North Carolina. So that's not to say that we're not interested in North Carolina candidates. We absolutely are, but there simply aren't enough of them. So now these Michigan candidates look at a state like North Carolina and say, well, it doesn't look quite as appealing as it used to because I can go to South Carolina and make more. I can go to Virginia and make more.
Kentucky.
I can go to Kentucky and make $10,000 more. We had an example of an outstanding math candidate this past summer who had multiple job offers from all sorts of states. And I asked him why he was declining our offer, and he said to me, well, I want to be honest with you, that school, and I won't name the high school because I try hard not to show any preference in my work, but he said that school was my absolute favorite school of any of the schools I visited. He said the teachers were great. There was a sense of spirit of working together. I was really excited about being in the professional learning community. I was very impressed with the principal. Even the school facility was exciting to me. And I said, well, why did you turn this offer down? And he said, because I just could not fathom accepting a job that was $10,000 less than a similar job in Kentucky. And so we lost that candidate. And I'm sad to see that happen, and I hope that the salary won't become a long-term impediment. I hope we can see some significant raises so that we can make some improvement there.
What is the teacher turnover rate, if I can ask?
Our turnover rate is anywhere between 12% and 15%, depending on the year. And teachers leave for a variety of reasons, some that have absolutely nothing to do with a lack of support or lack of enthusiasm for teaching. Perhaps the spouse has gotten a job somewhere else and the teacher's relocating. Mm-hmm. But we certainly do have persons that leave the profession. We've had several this year that have left for non-teaching positions at higher salaries. We've had persons that have just been overwhelmed by the workload and just said, after this year, I'm finished with teaching, I need a break. And of course, all that's very discouraging because we would like to keep those great people and hope they will stay with us for years to come, just as we heard from my colleague on our panel today.
Is that teacher turnover rate, is that up in recent years than it was before?
For Chapel-Carrboro City Schools, it's not up dramatically now.
Okay.
But we're worried about what may happen in the next year or even the year after that.
So turning back to Christoph, and I know you said at the outset you wanted to focus on the impact of all of this on the students. So we'll talk about the impact on the teachers as well. But how has this impacted the quality of education?
Well, I think as in any profession, and just to speak on that, you know, good teachers welcome a competitive marketplace for their profession. They're not afraid of it. And the reality is that if North Carolina is able to compete on the national market for teachers, then you're going to have an improvement in the level of education the kids are receiving. That said, I'm surrounded by incredible teachers at the school that I work at. And the teachers that I talk to who are sort of doing this incredible work every day, you know, if you take like this tenure plan, which has been proposed, you know, 25% of tenured teachers will get this small raise if they make themselves eligible for it. The thing is not that we want to entrench ourselves and make sure that we're tenured for life. The issue is that these things replace real substantive reform as far as teacher pay is concerned. So we welcome the kind of competitive marketplace that I think Ms. Gunderson is talking about. As far as how it impacts students, the reality is that, you know, the other thing is that in all of the hats that I wear, you talk about re-educating yourself, professional development, all those things. I've kind of maxed out. I've gotten the master's degree. I've gotten the national board stuff. So I've gone back and done all those things. But we don't have time to engage in the kind of quality professional development that it would take to continue to grow in the profession. Now, we learn as teachers as we do it, but the reality is that the state would need to make a financial commitment to make it sustainable for us to, in our free time, engage in the kinds of professional development that we need to and that we seek so that we can be better teachers. But the reality is I need to get pulled out of the classroom to write curriculum, to plan lessons, to submit portfolios to the state, as some of my coworkers have done recently through this process. And those are, in essence, almost separate full-time jobs. But what the state is doing when they ask us to do all those things at once is they're kind of getting two and three for one in some cases. Mm-hmm. They're pulling us out of the classroom to do those things. We can't be with our students, but at the same time, it's not financially sustainable for us to go back and seek continued professional development. Imagine a situation in which the profession was lucrative enough that I could even take a year or two off to actually go and get some real quality time to, you know, educate myself further and then re-enter the profession at a higher pay scale. I mean, I know that's a pie in the sky idea, but these kinds of things, which I think could create some real substantive change, they're just not possible in the current climate.
I want to pick up on that. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll carry that conversation forward. We're talking with Mary Gunderson, Coordinator of Teacher Recruitment and Support at Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, and Christoph Stutz, Social Studies Teacher at Carrboro High School. When we come back, more on the teacher salary issue. You're listening to a special forum on teacher salaries on WCHL. Welcome back to the WCHL Afternoon News. It's 4:25, and we are joined today for this half hour by Mary Gunderson, Coordinator of Teacher Recruitment and Support for Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, and Christoph Stutz, teacher at Carrboro High School. We're talking about teacher salaries, and thanks again to both of you for joining us. When we left off, Christoph, you were talking about the need for teacher development, a professional development, and the need for sort of a commitment to that. And I was wondering, before we get back to that, if you could talk about just the role of a teacher both inside and outside the classroom. Because I think part of the discussion here and a lot of the debate, a lot of people who are sort of opposed to increases or significant increases in teacher right. salaries will make the argument, oh, well, they work 6 hours a day, they get 3 months off during the year. But what exactly does a teacher's job entail outside the classroom?
I think my wife could probably give the best answer to that question. But the reality is that there is not nearly enough time in the actual workday to do the job that we do.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go home, plan lessons, grade. And when I say have to, I mean, these are things you have to understand that as teachers, these are things that do kind of energize us and inspire us. And when I say have to, it sort of makes it sound like I'm kind of dragging it. The chain up the hill, and that's not the case. These are things that we want to do, but the reality is it's probably another workday in and of itself.
Yeah, you mentioned full-time jobs.
On top of the traditional workday. And so planning lessons, communicating with parents, grading, all that stuff. And on the professional development piece, the thing that I would say is what we as professionals want is we're always seeking ways that we can become better teachers. Mm-hmm. But I think unfortunately the focus has shifted way towards accountability and not the building up of human capital. I think in any profession there needs to be measures for accountability. Mm-hmm. But the problem becomes when the entire system is based on accountability. So that unfortunately the state, I think, is creating institutions and measures designed to inspect but not to support.
Yeah.
So in terms of what I do as a teacher, it's so hard for me to put into words the kinds of relationships that I build with students that kind of sustains me professionally and sustains other teachers. And it takes up my time, but it's renewing at the same time. But it's two full-time jobs,
yeah.
Essentially.
And it's also worth noting, and this is always something that's in the back of my mind when talking about education, teacher pay, education funding for K-12 schools, that in a lot of cases, and again, this is something that often goes unreported, teachers have to pay for supplies out of pocket.
Yeah.
Not just at the high school level, at the elementary school level. We've got parents involved in paying for supplies. We've got the teacher supply store that the East Chapel Hill Rotary Club does every year, which is a great great program, but it's kind of sad that it's necessary all at the same time. And that's something that enters into this, too.
Well, and I think the problem is that if you don't fund the state institutions, you don't fund public education. Unfortunately, you can create this pretty dangerous narrative in which you can defund the institution and then you can delegitimize the institution. And this can create this vicious cycle in which there is this constant narrative of schools in crisis. But it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because you say the school's in crisis, you say you need to root out teachers, or you say you need to do things to reform schools. But the one thing you're not doing is you're not actually funding the issue. And so my concern, and I don't think it's a conspiracy theory. I just think it is a general creeping problem in which the institution is defunded, and then it becomes difficult for it to sustain itself, get the necessary supplies. So private institutions, donors have to come in and make up the difference just to keep it going. And then when it doesn't, folks come in and say, well, the system's not working, but the system's not funded adequately.
And this reminds me of something that Greg Meyer said, state representative and someone who's worked in public education for years, earlier this week on WCHL, that teacher morale is at the lowest point that he's seen it in his entire career, and he's worked in public education for more than a decade. Both of you work with teachers on a regular basis very directly. Is that something you'd agree with?
I would definitely agree that the teacher morale is very much at a low. At the same time, I don't mean to say that as, in any way as a criticism of our teachers, because I meet with beginning teachers regularly, and I see that group as incredibly enthusiastic, incredibly committed. Yet it is a grueling task ahead of them. They have so much to learn. They have so much to do. They're putting in so many hours. And really, a lot of appreciation is missing. They're not getting a lot of thanks from some of the parents are showing appreciation, but not across the board, and they certainly don't feel appreciated when they open up that paycheck. Many of the discussions that are going on at the state level, the increased accountability for teachers, I think all that's impacted teacher morale across the board, every grade level.
Same for Christoph?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be careful here because I think that teacher morale has declined in relationship to sort of whether we feel professionally respected. I also want to make clear in saying that for parents that are listening out there that we are professionals, so that when we have conversations with each other about what the teaching climate is like and what the environment is like, we can talk very honestly and openly about how outraged we are about the teacher pay plan. But at the same time, when I go in my classroom, those things are put aside. So the incredible things that happen in the classroom and are happening in our school building, those things are still happening. So our challenge as teachers is to be able to talk openly and honestly with each other about the challenges of our profession, but to make sure that the school building itself remains a warm, positive place where kids are challenged. And I think we've been able to do that.
And that leads to our last question. We've got to wrap up here, but we're speaking with Mary Gunderson, coordinator of teacher recruitment and support at Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools, Christoph Stutch, teacher of social studies at Carrboro High. And before we wrap up, I want to ask both of you just the sort of general question. We've talked about a lot of issues just in the last half hour, and of course, we've only touched the tip of the iceberg, but what fixes this? What is it, Mary, that we don't have that makes recruitment efforts and retention efforts more effective? Christoph, what needs to happen within the schools, not just from the state level, but what do teachers need to do in order, and what are they doing in order to respond to the pressures that are just sort of general, always on teachers, but also the more recent, the more immediate ones? Mary?
Sure. Some of the fixes we need are absolutely monetary fixes. We need an increase across the board in teacher pay scales. My pie-in-the-sky dream would be an increased calendar for teachers so that teachers may have more professional development time that's not associated with the traditional student calendar, so they're not missing student attendance days. Certainly we need their budget implications for what we need. Some of the pieces that we need, we have, and we're very grateful for those. We have strong community support in this community, both financially in terms of how the community has made financial commitments to the school district, and in terms of time commitments. We have lots of parents, lots of volunteers who really make incredible commitments to our schools, and that makes it a great place to teach, and that's part of the reason we're able to retain so many of the excellent teachers that we do have. So we want to retain those pieces, the positive relationship we have with our local community, and at the same time push on the state level for improved teacher salaries across the board.
And Christoph Stutz, I'll give you the last word.
The teachers over at Carrboro High School have overwhelmingly, I can't say unanimously because we don't have a union and don't have access to all this stuff, but have overwhelmingly declined to agree to the 25% plan at our school. Mm-hmm. My urge to people who are listening right now is to vote. In primaries, I'm not instructing people how to vote. I'm asking them to be involved. And in other ways, as my students who are listening right now, hopefully many of them, could tell you there are other ways to participate in the political process besides voting. The last thing I'll say is if you have a student in the school system and you see something good happening in the classroom or you have concerns, communicate with your teachers. But hearing from parents about the good things that are going on in our schools in lieu of an improved paycheck, it helps. So.
All right. Thank you so much, Mary Gunderson, Christoph Stutz, for joining us today. Thanks to Jeff Nash as well. This has been a special forum on the teacher salary issue.